thing to get banned from Grace XP camp yet, and I'm very flattered. Yeah, thank you, Hector, yeah. All right, guys, I opened my first Grace XP camp with one piece of information about myself. And just in case there are any new campers or any people who haven't met me before, when I was 12 years old, I shat my pants in a mall food court. And that was a very formative experience in my life. That was an ironically very formless dump in my pants. It was just liquid. And I know that that's probably not what... Well, for those of you who knew me, you probably saw that coming from a mile away. But that's probably the first thing you need to know. But 2 years ago, I shared a story about my friend Joe, who was a classmate of mine. And a particular experience that he shared with our class. And I realize there's some students in here. It's been 2 years. I've had a lot of people graduate out and graduate into the youth that might not have heard this story. And there's some other people who straight up forgot the story. I know Isaac told me he doesn't remember. And I think that it's very relevant to what we're talking about this week. I think that there is just so much going on spiritually, and we get to latch on to it. Just like what Kenny was talking about, the power of the name of Jesus. And I promise you this has something to do with what I'm talking about, but my friend Joe told us, because we were sharing a lot of these sharding stories, a lot of these defecation-oriented stories, and he said, you know, one time when I was about 9 years old, my friend Joe, we were, I think, 17, 18 at this time, and we were going around sharing these stories in class, and he said, I had gotten to go to his house. He had a very nice home. His parents, had nice jobs. They had an incredibly big house on the lake, and we would go out there sometimes, all of our friends, and we would ride around on their boat. We had a very small graduating class. It was 8 people, including me and my sister, so we knew each other well. He invited all 8 of us out, and we got to ride around on their boat or skis or whatever. And he said, we've lived in that house for a long time. And ever since I was little, I would just, you know, roll out on the lake. It's like the fish do it. Why? I just would drop my shorts whenever I was in the water, just poop in the lake. He would just do it. I don't know why he had, I don't know, all of us were pretty weirded out by that. I was like, I don't think I would do that. But Joe made it a habit of his. He lived on the lake. He was going to take advantage of that real estate by the lake. So one day, when he's like 9 or maybe 10, his family, they decide they're going to have a whole bunch of people from their church over for a potluck at their house. Does everyone know what a potluck is? That's where you bring food over to a big party. Everybody brought something, and they all just got to hang out at their house. Everybody was having a good time. His brothers were there. There weren't many other kids his age there, so everybody was doing great. They were all laughing and, you know, just talking about life and Jesus. And then they're like, hey, guys, it's time to go out onto the lake. Let's go. And so everybody, they get on their swimsuits and everything. They roll out to the back, and they're all swimming. They're still fellowshipping, right? That's the fancy church word for they're just hanging out. And then Joe, he decides to just swim off from the crowd a little bit while nobody was really paying attention. Somebody's telling a story, and he's got all their attention. So Joe swims out a little bit from the crowd. Not too much to make anybody concerned to draw attention, but just a little bit on the outlier here. And he just does his thing. He just poops in the lake. And so, yeah, I know. But don't worry, it's going somewhere, I promise. So maybe right after this, before he even pulls up his shorts, he feels something bump him in the water. He looks around, and it was the poop. It was floating. This is the first time ever pooping in the lake that it is now floating. And there is a crowd of people from his church right just a few yards away from him. Fear strikes Joe. He has no idea what to do. He's freaking out. He's like, what do I do? What do I do? He's trying to push this piece of poop under the water. He doesn't know what's going on. He's like, why now of all times does it have to float? And so he does everything that he knows how to do. He can't get it. He can't get it to sink. So in the end, he just has to push it away. And it just is kind of drifting off. And he kind of swims back to the people. He just acts like nothing happened. And then the person, whoever it was that was telling this story, they're still going, and they've got most people's attention. They're still telling the story. And then in the middle of one of their sentences, they go, "Is that a poop?" And it's just drifting along. And Joe's sweating. He's like, "Oh gosh, it's just a fish." He's just thinking it's just a fish. Nobody knows. And then one of the little girls who's like 5 years old, one of the only other girls his age, she goes, "It was him. I saw him pushing it down." So Joe, rip, dude. Oh my gosh. Yeah, what a horrible feeling. Now, what I really want to know these days is what happened after that. I think that was just such a traumatic event that he just pushed out the whole rest of that day. I don't know who stayed for the potluck after that, how their parents saved that situation, but no, that was the end of that story. And so I have to hand it to Joe. No matter how many times I crap my pants, he's got the best story. And so I just had to share that with you guys. Thank you for letting me share that once again. Yeah, absolute legend. So I think it does apply a lot to exactly what Michael was talking about last night about the porta potty type story, about feeling like your life is just a pile of fecal material, a pile of crap, and you don't really know how to get your way out of it. Man, I was not always confident enough to come up here and tell you guys about when I was 12 and how that happened to me in a mall food court. That was really embarrassing. But man, I have come a pretty long way. And it's not because, I don't know, I just got good. It was absolutely a skill issue, I will admit that much. But no, the Lord has taken me a really long way from how just anxiety-induced I was. I never, ever had room in my life for another voice to make me feel guilty or ashamed of myself. And for a long time, I thought that is absolutely what God's role was to roll up and just be and just absolutely hammer in what you should be doing right, what you should be doing differently. And thank God that has not been the case. I was already riddled with enough thoughts just to push me down, to make me feel like a piece of crap floating in the lake, that I couldn't push these feelings down, that I was worthless, that whenever I came into a situation where people were talking and having fun, that I took away from the atmosphere, that I made it awkward right away, that nobody wanted to see me floating in the lake, that they all just wanted to be having their own little discussion, just like at the potluck. No, I could not run away from those thoughts. I was so persuaded that I was worthless, that I was a burden for so long. And that's why it ministered to me so much whenever I finally came to a place where I told God, "I don't think I can do this anymore." And he showed up. He ministered to me that God would take the time to show me the truth about myself. That changed my whole life to know that not only would someone spend time with me, but that God would. That God would, that God knows my name, that would actually come down. I know that stuff we hear in church for years. I had heard it in church my whole life. I grew up in church. But to find out that it's actually true blew me away. There's a verse here in Romans 5 that I love so much that changed my life. We're going to start in Romans 5, verse 7. It says that rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. That says if you have a best friend, rarely would anyone be brave enough to go and die so that they can keep living, to throw themselves in front of that train or push them out of the way so that they can keep on living. Though for a good person, someone might possibly try to. But in verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, what ministers to me about that verse is to know that even in my ugliest, most awkward, most embarrassing, most absolutely unfriend, like you don't want to be friends with this person at all. They are so cringe. They are so cringe-inducingly awkward and awful that no one would want to be friends with me. Even then, God would have gone out of his way to minister to me. He would have gone out of his way to show me that he loved me. And I am so glad that I opened my heart to allow him to do so. He is always reaching out to us. It is only a matter of when we finally open ourselves up to say, "I'm ready. I'm ready to receive it. And so I think that one of the hugest things that changed my life about that is it changed my perspective on myself to say that I was worth it, to say that I was worth hanging around, that I was worth, you know, seeing something of value in. I spent so much time wondering if I would ever do anything that mattered. I wanted to go into film for a long time, and I'm still kind of interested in that, going into like writing and directing. But as time went on, I realized my grades were so bad. I didn't know if I would ever have a future in any type of career where I didn't just work at Walmart and just like eventually go bald and never have friends of any kind. I thought my life was just going to go down and down and downhill my entire life. And once I had to confront that belief that I didn't see any potential in my own future, I told God, you have to help me. If you are real, you need to show me. I can't do this. And he did. He showed up in my life, and he showed me what to do. Man, I'm telling you, you know the voice of God. He says that my sheep know my voice, and to a stranger they will not follow. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. I am so glad that I opened my heart to let him in and show me in Jeremiah 29:11 that he had a positive trajectory for my life. He had a plan for me, that I wasn't just some worthless accident, that he even put in his word for all of us to know that he has a hope and a future for us. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Man, I have never regretted opening up my heart to let him lead me and what my future should be. Because I never thought I could accomplish those things, right? And so when I found out that I was called to ministry, that I was anointed to do that, of course, oh, I've had plenty of opportunities to doubt that. I told some of my volunteers, I've been freaking out just about this week, even though I've done it twice already. No, but God is always there to boost our confidence, to tell you, no, you can do this. I was talking with Annalisa about our favorite Bible stories. And one of my favorite stories is about Joshua. Does everyone know who Moses is? Moses, yeah. He's the guy who, like, led the Israelites out of Egypt. He, like, put the staff down, and God, you know, led him in how to part the Red Sea, and then he led all the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. Man, he was such a huge Bible hero. He's one of the biggest, like, spiritual figures in the world, one of the most widely known spiritual figures in the entire world, and the guy who had to follow him up was Joshua. After Moses died, Joshua was, like, his protege, and the time had finally come, is like, I gotta take over now, and the first thing that God does is he tells him, do not be afraid. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. He goes out of his way to instill that confidence, to instill that assurance that he is in you, that he is with you. And man, what a greater promise that we have, that Jesus said, Father, just as you have been with me. Jesus said that to God. Father, just as you have been with me, so you will be with them. That his anointing, that same anointing that was on Jesus to do miracles in this earth, is on every single person in this room. He said, even greater works than I have done shall you do too. Man, just like Kenny laying hands on that coworker of his and commanding life in the name of Jesus back into his coworker, man, you have that same anointing and power in your spirit by his spirit that dwells within you. Oh, man. So let's go to Romans 15:13. Before I get off of this hope thing, I want to say one more thing about Romans 15:13. This is such a cool verse. It says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's incredible the way that he moves once you just invite him into your life. I will tell you, I have been so blessed to feel the chains break over me, that all of that depression and anxiety that I had to deal with when I was in school, man, he was faithful to carry me out of that. And it wasn't always an overnight thing. It wasn't something that just went away and never came back. No, there was a little bit of a fight, but he was faithful. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He said that all the way back in the Old Testament. How much more, now that he said that to God, just as you were with me, you are going to be with them. That Jesus is with us at all times. Man, in John 10:10, just like Pastor Greg was saying, you were led by the Lord to bring that up. He said, the enemy, the devil, has come to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I have come so that I can bless. My favorite scripture in this entire world is Romans 1:11. That's where he says, that's where Paul is saying, and the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. It has never been about making you feel guilty or about forcing you and about pressuring you. Man, if you feel forced and pressured and manipulated and guilted into doing stuff, that is not how God operates. God does not manipulate people. He inspires you to do so, and he leads us into it, doesn't he? So there have been so many times where I thought that maybe Christianity was some kind of scam, that there were some kind of ulterior motives, that we're just trying to get people in here, we're trying to get people saved, so that we can try and get them to act right. It's just like, okay, wow, we're going to warm them up with the love of Jesus, and now that Chantel's saved, now that she just loves Jesus, all right, you got to get your act together. All right. Nope, you got to stop watching Netflix, you got to stop watching Shrek flicks. All you're allowed to watch now is Pure flicks. You can't play Magic the Gathering anymore. Nope. No, and then we start getting violently angry at Chantel for practicing just the wrong practices and start trying to guilt and manipulate. That is not what God does. Man, he came to bless us, to impart strength into you, and to set you free from those kinds of things, like guilt and shame and condemnation. Those were things he never wanted you to experience. Man, so it ministered to me so much. I don't know if you still have that picture up there, James. This is a picture of me in my freshman year of high school. I don't know if you're able to get it up there. This was our fall retreat, and I have a little bit of a story. Whenever they were asking us for our shirt sizes, everybody in my class was like, medium, medium. And I'm over here like this tiny little boy. And I'm like, I can't ask for a small. Everyone else asked for medium. So I went, a medium, the green shirt one. And so here I am, horribly awkward in the background of this photo. I don't know if you can see, that's my friend Joel lifting up his shirt. And then this is me in this oversized medium just looking horribly uncomfortable and out of place. Now that's always how I felt in high school. Oh my gosh, it was not until the Lord broke those chains off of me and led me into confidence. He gave me friends that I could rely on and depend on and who built up my confidence. Just the idea that God would try and pull you into something just so he can crack the whip and get you to act right, that's just like if there was some kind of blizzard going on outside. Now I'm just in my house chilling, and then you walk by. What's your name up here in the front row? August, it's nice to meet you, man. I'm Blake. What if August was rolling around in a blizzard? He's stranded, and then I invite him in. I'm like, you can't be in that blizzard. You got to get out here. You got to get in here. And then I welcome him into my house. And then as soon as he gets in, he's safe from the blizzard. I'm like, okay, now you got to clean everything. You have to clean my house. And if you don't, I'm going to push you back into that blizzard so hard, you're going to wish that you never entered here. Man, that is so contradictory to the way God would ever treat us. That is so contradictory. I think it's so cool that Jesus went out of his way in Matthew chapter 7 to say, which of you, if your son asks for bread, why would you give him a rock? If your son is saying like, hey, I'm hungry, can we have some food? You just throw a rock at him. You're just like, yeah, eat that. No, if he asked for a fish, why would you throw a live snake at your child and just be like, just quit asking me for stuff, and then try and get him snake bit? No, if you, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, even if any evil person knows what a good gift to their child is, how much more does God know how to give good gifts to those who ask him? Whenever we invite Jesus into our lives, we're not inviting a presence that tries to take us away from our joy, that tries to take us away from what would give us life. No, we invite a presence that wants to bless us even further, to carry us out of the chains we've had to put up with our entire life. We invite in a presence that can break those chains, that can carry us into a whole new kind of existence where we actually get to be happy. Man, going from that moment in freshman year of high school, this is a picture of me in my senior year of high school. After I had gotten just to spend this time with the Lord, gotten to walk in fellowship with him for so long, I just remember, I have so many pictures where I get to look back and remember I was genuinely happy. That I realized at some point in my high school career, that I was still dealing with that anxiety and depression, and I told myself, God, I've only got so many years left. I don't want to remember high school being miserable. Please help me. And you know what? Those chains broke. Those things changed. God carried me out of it just because I trusted him. I made a commitment to read one chapter of the Bible every night. And just wait until something changed. I was like, I can't keep doing this. I can't be miserable my whole high school career. This is all I know how to do. I didn't know anything. I hadn't read barely any Bible. Wasn't really even going to a church consistently, but I had a Bible. I was like, I'm going to read one chapter, just one chapter before I go to bed and just see what happens. And I did it for like a month plus, and then finally something, I just had this thought. It was like, you know, even if this is going to work, it's going to take way too long. It's going to take way too long. Might as well just put it down. So before I had the chance, before I thought about it, and I made the decision, I said, if it's going to work, I'm just going to keep going till it works. And immediately, I felt that depression leave. I felt my heart lift. I felt something change in my heart. That there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the Word. It didn't happen because I had committed to reading the Bible. It didn't happen because I had done all these right things. No, it happened because I finally said, no, I believe that Jesus can break this off of me. And I'm willing to receive that freedom. I will do anything to receive it. That's all he needed, was a willing heart. That's all he needed. And I get to look back on these photos from my senior year and realize, man, thank God, he changed my life before I got to graduate. He changed my life and he brought me to a place of genuine joy before I had to go out into the working world and wonder if I would ever make anything of my life. He brought me to a place of joy where I could look forward to my future instead of dreading it. He made a path for me so that I could be excited about going forward. I could have a vision of who I was going to become instead of wondering if I would ever make it. Man, I am so glad because this has been the most fulfilling work that God has ever blessed me to be able to do, is to minister to students. I got to go visit someone in the hospital recently, and I was thinking the whole time, I was like, you know, they probably had 1,000 people go up to visit them already. They probably are really sick of seeing people. It's probably just, I'm just going to go in there and they don't really know what to say and it's going to be kind of awkward and, you know, we don't really know what's going on. And I'm just like, well, good to see you. And then you just kind of dip out. It was like, you know, the youth pastor thing to do, just kind of like, hi, Jesus. And then you turn around and then you're like, okay, well, before this gets much more awkward, I guess I should just go. No, I walked in there, and this person cried. They were so touched that I would come to see them, and we talked for like an hour and a half. I know for a fact that if I had pursued film with my life, not that nobody's called to do things that aren't ministry, of course you are. God anoints you to do all kinds of stuff. Ministry isn't my only job. I'm also a wedding DJ, and I'm all right. I'm pretty good at it. But yeah, thank you, Pastor Greg. But no, God has put me in a place where I get to do something that I know I've been created to do, that I got to know exactly why he made me, that he told me, you're not some kind of accident. You are not forgotten. You are not worthless. No, I have a purpose for you. And now 11 years later, after he's told me that, getting to walk in that purpose and getting to see what he means, it is the best decision I have ever made just to welcome him into my life. And so I encourage you, if there is anyone in here that is debating whether or not they think Jesus is the right move for them, I just want to tell you that my experience has been so positive. It has been so wonderful that there have been hard times. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, hard times will come, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Man, it's not like those hard times won't come, but he is with you through all of it. They're going to come whether you receive Jesus or not. And it's going to be so, so much better to be in those hard places when you have someone with you, when you know that there is an anchor and someone who is carrying you through that. So just to bless God and just to tell you that, man, why wait? Why wait any longer to receive something that is going to bless you? I know there's that thought that there's some kind of catch to this Jesus thing, that there's some kind of... Just broke the microphone. There we go. All right. That there's some kind of catch. I have only ever been blessed. That verse, Romans 1:11, where he says, I long to see you so that I can impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is the truth. He does not long to see you so that he can shape you into what he wishes you were. No! He wants you just as you are. Don't you worry. You don't have to clean yourself up to go to Jesus. He just wants to be in your life. That's all that he wants, so that he can bless you, so that he can impart those spiritual gifts to make you strong. And it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I had that whole moment. I don't want to go anymore without being happy, Lord. I need your help. And he came. He blessed my life. So just to encourage you in saying that, man, there is such a blessing that waits for you. There is such a blessing that he wants to impart to you. When you feel that love, when you feel the Spirit moving on you, he's not going to do it just to embarrass you. He's not going to call you into something that you're going to hate. No, that it was the best decision that I have ever made, that it has blessed my life. And that he wants to bless you too, just as much, if not even more. He wants to bless you just as much as you're willing to receive it. So don't shake off his arms. Whenever you feel the Lord just trying to put his love on you, just trying to fill you with that joy and anointing, you don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen. He just wants to bless you. So that's all my story. I think that's all I've got for you guys today. I'm not used to preaching very long, so I bet I went really short. But guys, awesome. Yeah, you're all great. Don't keep trying to shove that dumpage under the lake. You just let it rise. You let the Lord take care of it. You let that stuff rise to the top, and you just let the Lord be part of your pushing away committee so that he can set you free from that floating dumpage that just will not leave you alone in that lake. Thank you all very much for having me. I love you. Have a great, awesome camp day.